Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the word of the Lord says, and I hope you have your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the word of the Lord says, "For I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Hallelujah. "That your faith," somebody say my faith, "should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." 1 Corinthians 4 and 20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." But in power. And I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. I have an assignment. I have an assignment. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I have an assignment." Come on. Let's lift our voices to the Lord now. Come on. Let's lift our voices to the Lord right now. Come on. We can do better than that. There's a whole bunch of you here this morning. Lift your voices to the Lord. Come on, RT. Come on. Lift your voices. Lift your voices. Lift your voices. Hallelujah. 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 We lift our voice. We lift our hands, God, unto you, because we are under an assignment, God. We have got a purpose, Lord. We pray right now that your word would go out. It won't return to void. God, we're believing today, God, that you're going to do a work. If you're going to help Pastor preach this morning, why don't you put your hands together? Come on. Put your hands together. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. Woo! Come on. Give him a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to tell you right from the get-go, I've come to an agenda this morning. I've come on an assignment. And maybe some of you are going to be scared and wonder, what's Pastor after? I'm after, I'm on an assignment this morning. And the kingdom of God is not just in word, but it's in power. And an assignment is a charge. It's a commission. It's what we understand that the Lord gave Joshua a charge or a commandment. He commissioned him for a purpose, for some things. And we know that an assignment is a position, or it is a responsibility or a duty. It's a mission in which a person has been assigned to. We can liken that into a responsibility to complete something. And God has called us, and He has brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light to know Him and to make Him known. It's an assignment for us. We have a commission, or we have a charge today to be a disciple of Jesus. We have declared 2022 to take dominion in discipleship, personal discipleship. Your greatest disciple ought to be yourself and to be your family. That ought to be your greatest disciple. And we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We are passing through. And God has brought us out of sin, and He has brought us out of despair, and He has brought us out of distress. And we've got to know, and we've got to understand, as the psalmist declares, that He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Notice what the scripture says. Out of the miry clay. Notice, I want them to put it on the screen. Psalm 40 and 2. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. And He established my going. Somebody say amen. Notice this. And He put a new song in my mouth. Not an old song. We got a song that the angels cannot sing. And He even put praise unto our God. It would do some of us a whole lot of good to quit singing the blues and then start singing the praises of Him. My God is a good God. I got to praise and I got to let it out. He's been too good to me for me to cry and whine and mope. And, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Our scripture setting this morning brings us to the understanding from the Apostle Paul about the message of the cross and having faith in God's power. Now, Paul writes 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and he's writing our scripture setting this morning from, he's writing the first of these two letters, and this is a very fascinating letter to a Corinthian church, which was a multi-ethnic church in a major cosmopolitan city. Corinth was arguably one of the most important cities of its time, and it's definitely in its region. It functioned as a seaport and major trade center, and the city obviously was large enough to have a lot of the things that a big city would have, and but it had idolatry there. It had immorality there, and this was primarily a Gentile church, and it was a young church, and it was a church that the Apostle Paul had established on his second missionary journey. And but Paul was pretty radical before his conversion. He was pretty radical. The Apostle Paul was crazy for his assignment that he was on before his conversion, but he was even more radical for Christ after his conversion. I wonder this morning if how many of you you used to act all kinds of crazy before you got converted. And it seems that sometimes you get in the church and you try to be, oh, well, you know, I've got to be all dignified. Hey, the devil is a liar. If you used to stand in line at the club, half-dressed, trying to get in for an hour to get a watered-down drink, pay $20 to stand around, have nowhere to sit, and you come into the house of God and you got seatitis. You're stuck to your chair. The devil is a liar. We're on assignment, baby, to praise God. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. When you see Him running the aisle, you don't know like He knows what God has done for Him. It's hard for me to fathom, Sister Rodriguez, that after all some of you have been through, some folks still afraid to come outside their house and worship the Lord with God's people. After all that God has kept you from, brought you from, let alone what we all went through in the last 2 years. God's got us on assignment. He's got the church of the living God on assignment to know Him and to make Him known. To be the city on a hill, the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Saints of God, you have a purpose in the kingdom. That's to know Him and to make Him known. Yes, yes, you've encountered many things with your relationship with the Lord. Absolutely. Life is a journey. Paul says we're troubled on every side, yet we're not in distress. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Paul was on a spiritual assignment. He was not focused on what was, but rather on what could be. I'm coming for you. It would do some of you a whole lot of good to start focusing not on what is, but on what God can do. Because the Bible says, for with God, all things are possible. That's why Paul writes in Colossians 3 and 2, he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Hey, the things of this earth, they're real. It's reality. But saints of God, we cannot get our eyes and our lives and our hearts, our affections on the things that are here on earth. But we got to look up. We got to set them up higher. When you see these things begin to come to pass, look up for your redemption. Draw it not. We ought not to be hanging our head low, but we ought to be looking up and saying, I believe something good is about to happen. Something good is on its way because I have an assignment. Why are you looking up all the time? I'm looking up because my Savior is coming back for me, and I want to make sure that I see Him. He sees me. I'm looking up because down is not where I belong. I'm looking up because I'm going up to heaven one of these days. I have an assignment. Yes. Paul was a soul winner. He was a church planner. He was radical for Jesus. He was an ambassador for Jesus. The Apostle Paul was all about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I ask you this morning, what kingdom are you all about? Because the Bible tells us in Psalm 145 and 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and give him a fist bump and tell him, I have an assignment. I have an assignment. The Apostle Paul understood. He understood that his speech or his doctrine was not and could not be the one of enticing words. Words that would entice you because they sounded good, right? The Bible tells us they would heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. Their time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. The Bible's confrontational. It'll confront some things in our hearts and lives and minds that nobody else can see, but the Word of God. It's we don't need enticing words. I'm not trying to sell you something that is too good to be true, because it's not for sale. It's free. He paid the price once and for all. He said that I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Can I remind you that the plan of salvation is not a way. It's the way. Being born again was not just for a man in the Bible named Nicodemus, but rather for all. Come on, somebody. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. I ask you again, what kingdom are you all about? That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not. Jesus says this. Marvel not. Ye must be born again. That was not a recommendation. That is an essentiality, that you be born again of water and of the Spirit. You and I need to be on assignment to see people born again of water and spirit. Not to help them retire comfortably. Come on, somebody. Not to make sure they get a good meal when you deliver it. Come on. Not to make sure their yard looks good, and not to make sure you answer the phone when they call. No, we need to be about our Father's business and say, have you been born again? Come on, somebody. Well, Pastor, I can't force religion down their throat. You're right. This church, I don't want us to have anything to do with religion. We need to have everything to do with Jesus. Religion didn't die. Religion didn't die on the cross for you. Jesus died on the cross. Religion didn't rise up on the cross on the third day. No, it was Jesus. Religion don't answer prayers. Jesus answers prayers. We got to have a mindset and an attitude. Say, I'm all about my Father's business. I have an assignment. Yeah. This means that we ought to be excited when someone receives the Holy Ghost. If all of heaven rejoices over one, we ought to want to celebrate when someone makes a decision to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now this is something that I say often because it's the truth. So I'm going to repeat it again for the 1,000th time. But some people, man, they are so proud of their sports teams, right? So, I mean, buy hats and shirts and, you know. And that team hasn't done anything for them but cost them money. But we won't get excited about somebody repenting, being restored, a prodigal coming home, a lost coin being found, the shepherd leaving the one, leaving the 99 to go find the one. But we won't come to church because our team is playing or because somebody's came over for company and you can't tell them, well, I'll be back in 90 minutes. I'll see you in 90 minutes. Just head over to Solvang. I'll meet you for lunch. The devil is a... But he brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He don't tell anybody about your past. He answers in the midnight hour. Come on. Freely you receive, freely give. We got to have an assignment. Say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm ashamed of what I did in sin. I'm ashamed of my past. I'm ashamed of some of my family members and friends. But the gospel, it's too good to be true, baby. Come on. The word of God is true. It doesn't change. Nothing is more precious than when someone believes, repents, is baptized, and gives their life to the Lord. Greatest sermon of all time. All time. You talk about the greatest sermon, not the greatest man or the greatest person, but the greatest sermon. You talk about the goat. It was when the Apostle Peter was asked a question, and it probably took him 20 seconds to say this. He stands up with the 11 in unity, and he says, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you might receive, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That, my friends, is what it's all about. It's about getting saved and staying saved. You're going to struggle. You're going to have battles mentally, spiritually, financially, with one another. But you keep on holding on. You keep serving God because all of your bad days, it's still a day that the Lord has made. And you've got an assignment for that day to know him and to make him known. The word of God is not just for churchy people. This is not just for the people of the Bible, right? But the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Someone shout, I have an assignment. That was weak. Somebody shout, I have an assignment. Trials, tribulations, good days, promotions, positions, money, 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 more money, materialism, infirmity. Those things ought not to deter you from your spiritual assignment. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I want you to read this. 2 Corinthians 12 and 10. Notice, he says, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. Notice this. In persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Some of us have gotten us into positions of distresses, in reproaches, in infirmities, and in persecutions because of our poor decisions and planning. It has nothing to do with God. God did not tell you to take that credit card and go buy everything in sight. No. God didn't tell you to do some of the things that you're doing and say, it's the devil's fault. Or it's just a persecution. No. It was you and your big mouth. That's what it was. You're the reason why you're in the situation. You had nothing to do with the Lord. But if the Lord allows you to go through some infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for his sake, then when you're weak, then you'll be strong because you've learned to do what Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not into thy own understanding. The more I lean on him, the more I trust him. The more I trust him, the more I lean on him. Because I have an assignment to know him and to make him known. And the longer I serve him, the more I know I can lean on him. I can trust him. Come on, somebody. Some of you have been leaning on yourself for way too long. And the Lord has shaken you up. He has woken you up. He has put some things he's put an assignment in front of you. And it's time for you to look at that assignment and say, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. This too shall pass. I will get on the other side of it because God is for me and the kingdom is about the power. You know, there's some people that are all about power. If you're one of those people, the kingdom is for you. There's no greater law than the word of God. There's no greater authority than the authority of the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things on the earth. Notice this, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The real power does not come from eloquent speech or charismatic preaching or finessed presentation or logical persuasiveness. No, but it's the message of the gospel. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. There's religions for everybody. There's books about every topic you want, online, offline, for free. But nothing will change your life, restore your life, transform your life like the power of God. There's nothing like it ever. It's just the word of God. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It breaks addiction. It puts marriages back together. It'll take a broke down dude and make him a preacher. A suit doesn't make a preacher. It's the anointing. Come on, some talent doesn't make a musician. Come on, somebody. And it's an anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the word of God that changes life. We ought to remember we are here for an assignment. What are you saying, Pastor? It's because of the mercies of God that we don't get what we deserve. It's the name of Jesus that washes away sins. It's the love of God that comforts the brokenhearted. And it's the power of God that convicts the sinner. Come on, somebody. For our gospel, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost. So preachers, men of God, women of God, anybody that stands behind this pulpit, make sure you come prayed up, locked and loaded. Come on, somebody. When I preach, I want to preach the Word of God, because I'm on assignment, because the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Notice this, and of the joints of our, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when I sing, I want to sing with all my heart unto the Lord. I want to give God a great praise and a great worship. But the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sometimes you may not know the song because it's a new song, but can I tell you, you can still make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We got the choir mics fixed for the kids' choir, but can I tell you, there's no greater choir than when a group of people get together and begin to worship and begin to praise the Lord for his mighty acts. And according to his excellent greatness, I wonder if the worshipers would arise this evening, this morning, with your hands lifted up and begin to worship the King of Kings. Can you worship without music? Can you worship without the beat of the drum? Can you worship without Brother Marquez? Come on. Can you praise singers praise out there like you do up here? Can you worship leaders lead us in worship out there like you do right? Come on, somebody. He seeketh a worshiper. There's a lot of things God's looking for. None of them is popularity or rich people or educated people. He's come to seek that which is lost. He loves a cheerful giver. And he seeketh a worshiper. He didn't say go build churches. Never in the Bible did he say go build churches. Nowhere. He said go make disciples. I have an assignment for the Santa Maria Valley, to see the Santa Maria Valley on fire for Jesus. What are you saying, Pastor? It starts with me, and it starts with you. It starts with my leadership team. It starts with my ministry team. It starts with Firm Foundation. It starts with you parents. You got to start coming to church more. You got to bring your kids here to church. Your kids have got to learn Acts 2:38 like they know 2 plus 2. Come on, somebody. They got to learn how to pray like they know when their favorite TV channel is on. They need to know how to call God like they know how to call you in an emergency. I have an assignment. Come on, I got to get my family to heaven. Fathers, you got to get your families to heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom. The kingdom. I have an assignment. We have a responsibility to get to heaven. An assignment. An assignment. How many times have those of you that are in college right now, those of you that are so proud of you, graduated during the pandemic? Awesome. So awesome. You pivoted to graduate. So proud of you. But if I'm using this as an example. So this is not for those college students, because they have been doing a great job for Hyphen. Thank the Lord for Hyphen. Amen. But amen. You would not go do things that you wanted to do, because you had to stay home and study because you had an assignment due. So, Victoria, you remember those days? There are some things we don't do because we're on assignment to be apostolic in doctrine, Pentecostal in experience, and holy in lifestyle.
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody. Yes. Love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. So when you lift your hands, you ought to be lifting your hands unto God with your fingers pointed to heaven, not your fingers pointed at somebody else for what they fail to do and what they're doing. Oh, God, help us then today, you tomorrow, lest you forget the mercies of God. I have an assignment that when I come in here, I'm about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. So the psalmist says, sing praises to God. Sing praises. As if that wasn't enough, the psalmist says again, sing praises unto our God. And again, in just a few, Psalm 47 and 6, he closes it out, sing praises. Nowhere does it say to gossip, to give your opinion, to sit and fold your arms, to give up because it's so hard and so bad. But Sister Hilda, it does just like what you've been doing. I'm going to sing praises to God. I'm going to sing praises to God. I'm going to sing praises to God, our King. And again, I'm going to sing praises to God. And I want to lift my hands up with cleanness and a pure heart. And Paul says, with holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Pastor, do you know where we're going and where we're headed? No, I could just tell you that we don't got much time and God's coming soon. And I got a lot of doubts, but one thing I don't doubt is the power of God or his love for you or his love for me. So I'm on an assignment to see people saved, to see people restored, to see them forgiven, to see them involved in the kingdom. I want us to be possessed with the things of God, that I got to get to church. I got to have church. I got to worship. I got to love God. I want to be a man so consumed with the things of God that even if a mosquito bites me, he'll walk away saying, I know it was the blood of Jesus. I want the things of this world to be under my feet and the things of heaven to be in my peripheral. Amen. Somebody say, I have an assignment for the kingdom of God. It's not in word, but it's in power. Yeah. At some point in time, we have to walk the walk. Yeah. Dead church won't work. Right. Talent without the anointing will only get you so far. Right. Amen. A form of godliness won't save you. Modesty is great, but modesty isn't necessarily holy. The power of God and the presence of God will keep you sane when everything is out of control. Come on, somebody. Just a reminder that we are on a divine assignment for apostolic revival in the Santa Maria Valley. It's not going to be by might, not necessarily by power, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God. I'm talking about where we walk in real demonstration and live and walk in faith and power of the Holy Ghost. Focused on the spiritual assignment God has given us. Not distracted by the cares of this world. Please, I know I'm taking way too long. Please, remember all the vows and prayers that we prayed in the last 2 years. Please, don't break those promises. Don't break those promises to God. Don't be obsessed with the deceitfulness of riches. The power of God will keep you when nobody else is watching. It'll keep you being moral when you're not being monitored. The fire of God will burn inside you and be like fire shut up in your bones. It'll help you not be tricked by the enemy anymore. Some of you have got to get the enemy under your feet, keep him under your feet, and remind him he stays under your feet. Come on, somebody. We are on spiritual assignment. So we stand this morning. No musicians right now, but what assignment are you on? What position? What focus? What consumes your thoughts? What are your motives? Pastor, what are you saying? I'm telling you, God has not just positioned Revival Tabernacle, but God has positioned the church for things that we're trying to plan for, but all the planning is just a fraction of what God wants to do. But we have to plan. We got to do things decent in order, or there's going to be not even organized chaos. It'll just be chaos. Yeah. Right? God likes order. But there are some things in your life that you got to get serious about. You got to get serious about holiness. You got to get serious about being a disciple maker, like you are graduating from a school. You got to be serious about your anointing, like you are about being in love. We've got to get serious about being in church and church attendance and being in the house of God, like we are getting to work the next day on Monday and two. We got to get serious about being a giver of tithes and offering, like you are about getting out of debt. Come on, somebody. We've got an assignment. We can't be cutting our hair and saying, well, God's going to forgive me every 3 months I go and cut my, the devil is a liar. You are on an assignment. Your hair is giving you for your glory. You got to get excited about worshiping the Lord like we do rooting our football team, getting excited about the things in this world, because we are on an assignment. How many's on the Lord's side? How many's on the Lord's side? Anybody want to go to heaven? We know the altar has to have something on it in order for the fire to fall. So we either put ourselves on the altar or we put something on the altar. God, burn up whatever's in me that needs to be burned out. God, burn up whatever I put on the altar, God. But I need some of you. I need some of you this morning to lay it down on the altar and leave it there. Don't pick it up and take it back with you. Leave it at the altar and say, never again. It feels kind of weird walking without it because you've been used to carrying it for so long. But leave it at the altar. Spiritual. I'm not coming with enticing words this morning. I'm trying to be real. I'm trying, because this thing is about to blow up. You feel it. You feel what's happening in Revival Tower. It's about to explode. God is positioning us. I'm believing for 300 next on Sunday. I've already talked to a couple guys about renting bathrooms for outside because I'm expecting. Come on, somebody. We are on spiritual assignment for the Santa Maria Valley. Are you ready? The wind means we got to get some stuff settled together.